This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Pinkerton's Barbecue on Airline Drive. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, one in the books, two to go, plenty more show. The Usual Suspects live from Pinkerton's Barbecue right here on Airline here in the Heights. Fantastic barbecue. The brisket is out of this world, as we both said. If you want to make an early afternoon of it, get here, get the food because there's no line right now. Stock up and then get ready to watch some games. Sit at the bar and tip your bartenders and waitstaff, especially the gentleman with the Astros hat on, because he will appreciate it as he has several kids to put through school. So we are here talking a little college basketball. We kind of got into it. Craig is here with us. Craig Koshy, the winner of Rock the Mic.
Yes, sir.
So there you go.
2016.
But you guys share that in common, right?
Yeah, I won 2014. No, I think I won 2013.
You won 13. Cam won 14.
Yeah, and then JT 15, and you this year.
Yep.
Yeah, so see, this is it works. AJ and I were talking about Rock the Mic on the way down to Beaumont and how pretty much everyone that's won it has gone on to do something pretty well with the station or just in taking advantage of the contest. And I think they're going to do it again. It's basically just a PSA, man. If they do Rock the Mic again on the station and you've always wanted to get into radio, you definitely need to go out there and take a shot at it.
Agreed. It's a great experience. I lost the first time. I got second place the first time I did it.
You not only lost, you lost something else, too, when you lost,
I lost a job because of it.
That's dedication, bro.
I had permission from my employer to go do it, and then my employer's investors heard me on the radio and told him they had to fire me. So
that's how bad he did. They were so embarrassed of his performance that they wanted him
fired.
They did not want him associated with their company in any way, shape, or form.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it happened.
It was so bad. So he's gotten better now.
Yeah, thank
goodness.
He can
hold his job down now when he's on the radio.
That's still debatable. But
so you and Trey have something in common. Left really, really good jobs in the financial world just to get a shot at Rock the Mic.
I don't know what Trey did, but
you can only imagine.
Yeah. It wasn't in the financial world. I marketed a gun store, basically. So that was
okay.
It was good stuff, but I got
Trey
fired
invested
for doing
money
this.
For people on Wall Street. That was a different story.
Someone asked, "What's WTF is up with y'all's NFL draft hotline commercial?"
I've heard that these
someone
tweets
needs
before.
To lose their job over that one. I don't know what's going on.
I've gotten a lot of comments like that too, and I don't know what the spot is.
Nick, do you know what commercial these people are talking about?
I have no clue what they're talking about.
Can you
it must
find
be on the
it
stream?
It?
It must
Can
be on the stream though.
Yeah, Texter 832. Text. Is it on the stream or is it one that you can
I'll
hear over
it.
The air? Yeah, I want to hear this and see what's wrong with it.
Why it people... obviously is one not voiced by Raheel.
Oh, I doubt. I bet it is Raheel. I'm guessing it is. Everything on the stream is Raheel right now.
He's so hot right now. He's like Hansel.
Pockets is Hansel. Here, by the way.
Who?
Zoolander? Have you never seen the movie
I've
Zoolander?
I've seen Zoolander, but I don't remember things like that.
That was Owen Wilson's character, and he was always so hot right now.
No, I remember lines from Tommy Boy and like Spaceballs.
Those are good ones.
That's all I got. I don't remember lines from any other movies.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough.
My wife's brother,
yeah,
just stellar. Just pulls and pulls and pulls movie lines. I'm just like, I'm out, bro. Just tell me where to find it, and I'll YouTube it so that I can share along on the chuckle, but I'm out. Yeah.
Somebody said it's the stream. Not Raheel's voice, and it's a I don't know how to put this.
You're doing your screening on air again.
No, I thought it sounds – somebody said – okay, here you go. This is a better way of putting it. Someone said it sounds like a gay sex hotline.
Okay.
Nick, what the hell are we – what are we doing?
Well, but Nick's not responsible for that, so I'm actually pleased Nick doesn't know.
Look, all the texts are coming in saying it's brutal. It's on the stream and it's brutal.
Nick,
you want a big running back to punch it through the hole? Okay, I get it now.
Get B on the line and tell him he needs to fix something, whether Raheel's there or not. By the way, Pockets is here now, so you should be happy the The marketing crew has just upgraded. You thought Pockets had the day off. No, she has the Pockets on and the Daisy Dukes. So Tasha's here, so come out and see her as well here at Pinkerton's Barbecue. Craig, we were talking about it. You and I watched most all the games last night. Barry, you caught some. Look, I mean, this is what makes the tournament great. Some great mm-hmm. games. I don't think like last weekend where people were pointing fingers at officials and other things. These were all pretty well-played games.
I agree. There's only one official thing to have an issue with from last night, and that was the stoppage at the end in West Virginia-Gonzaga. Look, the ref made a bad call. I'm glad they got it right. Mm-hmm. But it took them way too long to
Chris
figure
Weber
that out.
Chris Weber was losing
I love that. I was just
going to
say that.
Mind
Chris
over
Weber
that.
Became part fan, part broadcaster, but it was what every fan in America was screaming.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, how long can this possibly take? And once you saw the replay, and he even said, you've seen the replay 28 times. We all can see the ball was 5 inches from going out of bounds. It wasn't out of bounds. You see both feet. How many times do you need to see it? And then they would go back and go again. It's like, and then when what I loved was when the referee came to give them the explanation, he's the guy's still
you can
talking.
Hear him.
And C-Webb, he thought he just took the microphone away, but you hear him, he goes, good, can we get both teams on the floor and get back to playing now? And it was like, that's awesome.
I like
that's
it,
what you'd hope he'd say.
Yes. Yeah, but I think he went a little too long with it. It's like, okay, we get it. You're upset. You want to get a play started. But now I'm getting sick of hearing you lament about it. Let's just go to commercial if it's taking that long. I mean, geez, call a timeout. Do something else. But I feel like they just hung around too long with it. And they, you know, they probably could have gone back to studio. Who the hell knows? It was good at first. I agree with you, but I felt like he took it. He lamented about it too long. A couple of texts. Somebody's Lauren and Josh are saying that it's an NFL draft commercial on the stream. Josh said it's like calling a 900 number. Both of them apparently like it, but Patrick not a fan. He said it's horrendous. So I think
I've
the folks are
before.
Split on this draft commercial. I want to hear it now. Is it? I wonder if it's too bad to play on terrestrial radio. That's what I'm curious about.
We're still trying to locate the spot
okay.
right now.
Okay. All right. See, all right,
so our people are on it.
Yeah, listen to it and see if we can play it. I want to hear this during the show.
I'll say this too. From in terms of like, because I was worried for both teams on the stoppage of play in the West Virginia game. But the one thing that I'm going to give credit to is when you talk about like, because I thought both teams would be affected offensively because you can get cold quickly, especially from a shooting perspective. But man, Jordan Matthews gets all the credit in the world in my book because one, he was in foul trouble, so he had been sitting out. Two, he's back in the game, and the hardest ball to shoot, especially in transition, is a ball that's been tipped or altered and is also a higher low pass. The ball gets tipped in transition. He reaches down and over to get it and still in one motion squares his feet and shoulders, lets it fly, and it's nothing but bottom. And I give him all the credit in the world. That was a huge shot.
It's fundamentals. He made sure – even though he had to bend down to get it, he got himself square, shot everything in rhythm from the point he touched the ball on. It was a tremendous shot in a tremendous spot. And Gonzaga is going to have a very real chance at their first ever Final Four. And all I can say is it's about time for Mark Few that he gets this real opportunity.
Did you see the stat last night? I think the three schools that have been to the most Sweet 16s, Elite Eights, and yet to never have been to a Final Four. Gonzaga is right up there at the top, and Xavier is right next to him. So, you know, those two schools are
Temple would have to be the
running.
Third.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
And
yeah.
then he got a little salty at the press conference when they asked if he got the monkey off of his back. He was like, there's no monkey on my back. I don't know what you're talking about. That's not true.
Mark Few has gotten Gonzaga to the Sweet 16 as a double-digit seed three times.
Yeah.
That is insane.
But then as a one or
he flames out of the tournament.
Seed, yeah, they go very fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you look at it, too, because that bracket now, you're pretty much assured Barry, South Carolina, Xavier, Wisconsin, Florida, Baylor. Someone's getting in from that side of the bracket that no one would have expected and basically no one would have picked in their bracket. And that's pretty much the definition of what the NCAA tournament is because the upsets happen. And like Barry said, whether you do BPI or otherwise, you know, if you do it by the numbers – the last time there was at least two ones in the Final Four was 2015, but it's a rarity to get the ones all the way through.
Sure, sure. And I was filling out my bracket, and I think in two regions I had the one through fours in the Sweet 16. And in hindsight, just knowing how the tournament shakes out, I can't believe that that's what I had on my bracket.
Yeah.
And the other one I can't believe is I fell in love with Purdue for some reason.
Well, the story of the Biggie.
Caleb Swanigan.
Yeah. What a great story that is. And you want to pull for that kid. And he actually played well last night in the second half. But, yeah, I mean.
I expected Bill Self to pull a Bill Self in this tournament and flame out in the first week. So in the first weekend. So that's kind of where I thought, well, I think Purdue can get past literally anyone else. But this Kansas team has shown when them and North Carolina are the two teams, when they play at the best of their ability, it's hard to find anyone else in the country that can beat them.
And I thought the one thing that I thought about Kansas was they're a small team, they're a fast team, they're a bunch of wings. They could get beat if you have a team like Purdue that has a big front line. And I thought that Charles made a great point at the half. They put the two bigs in together a lot. And it's fine when you're on the offensive end, but those guys can't get back in transition.
You can't shuffle your feet when you're asked to face up in front of somebody. I like Haas. He's too stiff, but he's only a sophomore.
I was going to say, he's got potential. He's got the size. He's got the strength already. And like you said, Swanigan, what a great story. I think single-parent family, and he was 300-and-some pounds, and they nicknamed him Biggie because he looked like Biggie Smalls. And all of a sudden, they find an ex-basketball player to be his stepdad, steps in, starts working with him, gets him in shape, and the next thing you know, the kid's a Big Ten player of the year.
He is a poor man's Draymond Green in the sense that he can do anything from four positions on the floor.
And he's bigger, taller, and he shoots the three, and with confidence was knocking it down in the second half.
He's not as smooth as Draymond Green is as an athlete, but he does, from a mere tools perspective, he does everything that Draymond Green can
do. Yeah, no question about it.
Kick dudes in the nads. All that.
He probably can do that as well.
I think that's later in his career when he becomes more established.
Yeah, that's when you become, you become a crafty veteran. Yeah,
then you get salty.
I got you.
Right now, I want to tell you guys about Gallery Furniture for a limited time. Mac is offering his Macapedic sleep sets and his mattresses for $19.99. And with it, you get an $800 Gallery gift card right off the top. You know how Mattress Mac does it. Three locations in the Houston area, always offering you the best American-made solid wood furniture at the best prices with service after the sale and no back order slips. If you buy today, you get it tonight. That's how they do business at Gallery Furniture. The mainstay location on I-45 is still there. It's always been there. Mac sits at the front desk. He makes sure he takes care of you, but now he's made sure that he got two other locations across town so that wherever you are, there's always a Gallery Furniture nearby, and they'll always take care of your needs. Whether you're on Grand Parkway between Sugar Land and Katy in that beautiful new showroom there, or if you're in the Galleria area at Westheimer and Post Oak, Gallery Furniture is right there to save you money. And of course, like I mentioned, the mainstay I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways where there's no back order slips, and Mac will sit at the front desk, put you in good hands, and make sure you know that when you buy from Gallery Furniture, you're going to get the best deal, saving you money, and they'll deliver it the day you buy it if that's what you want. All in all, Gallery Furniture is a place where you should buy furniture each and every time you need anything for your house. Make sure you stop and see them because there's no doubt Gallery Furniture will save you money.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Pinkerton's Barbecue on Airline Drive. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry and Joel from Pinkerton's Barbecue right here in the Heights. If you want a good spot to get some great barbecue where the brisket is out of this world, and then hang around, watch some games, and tip your bartenders and waitstaff, it's Pinkerton's. Stop by. We're here up until 4, and then the Blitz takes you home with Fred and guest host Jerome Solomon until 7. Special thanks to Craig Koshkin for joining us for some time.
Yeah, man.
Breaking down some college basketball. The one game that we really didn't touch on that I was very much interested in, more so, it was a great game. And it was a great ending, the Michigan-Oregon game. But I was telling you a little bit in the break, the response from Michigan after the game kind of had me delving in a little deeper. I think by now it's no secret that on their way to the Big Ten tournament, Michigan's team plane skidded off the runway, ended up kind of in a ditch.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, and then because of the FAA going in to investigate what happened to the plane, they had to play in their practice jerseys. They got hot. They won the Big Ten tournament. They got a great seed. They made it all this far. They lose a one-point game last night, and they interview Michigan head coach John Beilein, and it was really not even ever about the game. All of his comments were, these guys are finding out now and have gotten word more and more about what happened to the plane. They're just happy to be here. We're just happy to see another day. We're going to be better people going forward, and we're going to go on with our lives very thankful. And so I started delving in deep. Evidently, in looking at this, and if you subscribe to the Players Tribune, which is free, you can get it. It's basically by the players, for the players, but articles. Mo Wagner actually wrote the article, the Michigan forward. And basically, he kind of documents everything that happened on the plane from the time the guys got on to the time everything was going to, you know, go haywire. People were worried about things that were going to explode. Evidently, on the plane, it was an elevator mechanism. And in looking at what that is, it's what makes it go up and down. So if that was screwed up, they said the best thing that could have happened to that plane was for it to come to a screeching halt and skid off the runway, because if they had tried to go up, I think you guys can figure out it wouldn't have been very pretty. So from their standpoint, it really kind of, what we always say, it's just sports, but it really puts it in perspective, because that's some scary stuff right there.
Yeah, that is scary. They got apparently they got lucky, and I could see why he would be making those comments about, you know, looking at things a little bit differently. Like, yeah, you lost, but you know what? End of the day, you didn't
You're
have to go
kicking.
Through an actual plane crash. I did see a stat from the game that said that Michigan only had 2 offensive rebounds. It's going to be tough to win a game only getting 2 offensive rebounds.
And yet
they lost by a point.
You were in control. You had a 3-point lead and got an offensive rebound with a minute to play.
One of your two.
Yes, there it is. One of the two. And of course, and I know you'll love this, but draft expert, quote-unquote ex-scout Kurt Lowe last night was bragging beyond belief on DJ Wilson of Michigan, saying, I guarantee you, write it down right now, first-round pick. And I kept saying, in this year's draft? And then, of course, he proceeded to give me all the wrong stats on the guy. Mm-hmm. And then proceeded to tell me, like, what he was averaging for the year, which they were all off. And then tell me that because of his great defense – And I just kept going back and showing him video and doing things like. And then he said, "Well, just take my word for it. Right now, he's first round this year." And I saw his out. He kept saying he was going to be a first rounder, and I'm like, "Okay, he's a junior. If he stays, maybe next year, lighter draft." When I finally got him to commit, I sent him 4 mock drafts up to 75 players at a time. Uh-huh. Not once did DJ Wilson's name appear on it. And he goes, "Well, just mark my words. I discovered Clint Capella, and I discovered." Montrezl Harrell. So I can tell you I'm better than 50% and my guy's going to be a first round pick. I'm like, all right, on that note, I need to put Twitter away for the night and I just need to watch the rest of the games, because that dude right there, I mean, you talk
why are you always hammering him?
It's fun.
You're not even going to make up another reason?
Saying, you know, because
it's just fun to hammer
it's
that
fun.
Dude.
You know, so you guys know the deal. Lisa and the baby go to bed early, so I'm just left there watching TV. And some nights if the games aren't great or, you know, just if we're between games, I'm like, I'll get on Twitter.
Troll Kurt Lowe.
And Kurt Lowe, lo and behold, will give you a slow pitch softball that you can hit out of the park at least 3 times before bedtime.
All texting, no tweeting. Said, Barry, the NFL draft ad that you're wanting to hear is horrible. You don't need to play it on the air. It will add nothing to the show. I kind of want to see how bad this train wreck is. But some folks, including Dr. Dre on 290, have been saying that it's an old ad that back in the day when 1560 was in its prime and Frank Bullington was here, that the ad was created back then. So it's actually Frank Bullington that's doing the ad. So that I bet it would be hilarious, considering that, you know, the stuff that Frank – and Chance used to create for 1560, some of that stuff was pretty funny. So I'm guessing that it falls somewhere in the middle between the people that hate it and the people that love it.
Yep.
So
shout out to Lauren Pope, by the way. Great to see her down in Beaumont yesterday. She said she's driving to Galveston, so I'm sure because she's downloaded the app that we go everywhere she goes. So we'll be enjoying Galveston later this evening.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Somebody had a question for us, and I'm interested to see what you say. 2 questions, and we'll do the text first, and then we'll get to El Jefe's tweet. Okay. Joel or Barry, have any of your spouses ever had – well, I'm trying to correct this. Have any of your spouses ever had the desire to go with y'all on a remote for the radio station? If so, would you encourage or discourage it?
I would say – no, she's never had the desire.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's always, I think she's always welcome wherever I am. But I mean, you know, sometimes there are times where it gets a little racy. But I don't think I have anything to hide. So no, I don't.
Does she feel like she can't go anywhere without being recognized, and so she doesn't?
And the beauty of Lisa is, and she obviously she's a beautiful woman, but what you see on TV is to be, you know, presentable on TV. But when she's at home, she's much more comfortable just chilling in, like, you know, yoga pants or workout tights and a workout top and hair pulled back or a baseball hat on. So sometimes, and she loves it, the fact that people don't recognize her.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I can remember standing in the checkout line at the grocery store where right in front of us was one of those donate food for the holidays, life-size cutout of her in, you know, in a dress, dressed up for work. And I'm looking, and I'm looking at both. I'm looking at the cutout. I'm looking at her. And literally no one could.
No one recognize you?
Yeah.
I'm always surprised when people recognize me from the radio. That's always a surprise because I guess I'm just – I don't assume that people are going to. And it doesn't happen often. But I am surprised when people are like, oh, hey, you're Barry from ESPN. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of weird. That, cause, you know, I mean, it's radio. You can't see. But I guess they do have our picture on the website and everything. My wife has no desire to come to a radio function at all.
Yeah.
She the only thing she hates more than sports is me. And so, no, she doesn't want to be here. She doesn't even come to my comedy shows. Like, she's
– really?
Yeah, she's gone each time I've had a milestone in comedy where, like, maybe I'll because there's different levels of being a comedian. Like, you start off, you're just doing open mic. So you're an open mic comic. Right. You're an open micer. So my wife came to one of my first open mic shows or whatever. And then when I got my first guest spot at a comedy club, a lot of times you're at this particular club, they'll give younger, newer comics – because I'm certainly not a young comic, but I'm a new comic. They'll give a spot to a new comic. Sometimes they'll let them do a guest spot. John Wessling, in fact. It was his show. He was headlining. And he was like, come on, man, I'll get you a guest spot. So she came to that. She came to the first time I ever hosted a comedy show at a comedy club. First time I ever featured. So she's done all that like one time. And then she's like, that's it. Now, next time you're going to have to headline a show the next time I come to you. And that probably won't happen for a while. So, no, she doesn't come. And she does, because she doesn't care about any of this. She doesn't like comedy. In fact, I think she hates laughing. The ninja over here would be like, what?
He's playing games on his phone.
Yeah, no, she just doesn't like comedy. She doesn't like sports talk. She's, you know.
What's weird is, I don't know if you get this, and it's different in my perspective, I get it, but the fact that she'll say, did you see that this morning? And constantly throughout the show, she'll say, did you see me read this? Or did you notice this? Or did you notice that? So she wants me and expects me to watch her in the morning. But on the flip side, I'm like, honey, were you listening to the show today? No. Mm-mm. I had the baby. I was running around. No. Mm-mm. But then suspiciously, when I move her car and I realize the dial's on 97.5, I know she's listening sometimes even when she says she's not.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But she's not. Like when I work for the Rockets, her least favorite sport in the world is basketball.
Uh-huh.
So it was actually, it was like a blessing and a curse. And the great part was, she never wanted the tickets, so I could always give them to buddies and friends and whatever because she was never.
Well, now see, my wife listens.
Oh, she does?
She absolutely listens. She just doesn't want to come to remotes or go to shows or whatever. But yeah, like on Sundays, her and her sister will go get their hair done or they're driving around running errands. Oh, yeah, they'll listen all day on Sundays. And if we happen to be on and she's off, like she's off today, if she's trolling around, yeah, she'll put it on the station to listen. So she'll definitely listen. She just doesn't want to come see me. I wouldn't want to.
We covered all the answers to the question.
I think so.
All right, cool. All right, we got we're at the halfway point. We got plenty more show to go, so we'll take a break. You guys do too. When we come back, plenty more to get to. If you want to join the show, 713-780-ESPN, where you can text us or call us, or you can hit us up on Twitter. It's at Barry is Funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
Tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night.
ESPN 97.5. This is a Renters Warehouse.com roadshow,
Live from Pinkerton's Barbecue on Airline Drive, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You're listening to Free and Easy by Dierks Bentley, and there's a lot of Dierks Bentley fans in this town, and you better believe they'll be at NRG tonight because Dierks Bentley is on the main stage tonight as part of Rodeo Houston. If you want to be a part of it, it's not too late. For just $18, you can see Dierks Bentley. You can get all that great rodeo action. You get some shopping in. You get some fine food and, of course, carnival fun. That's fun for the whole family. Tickets just $18 at the starting price. RodeoHouston.com. And again, this is the last weekend of the rodeo. It's gone quickly this year, gang. So go to RodeoHouston.com right now. You get $18 tickets for tonight and probably throughout the weekend. Zach Brown Band wraps it all up on Sunday night. My wife's a huge fan of Zach Brown Band, so a good way to wrap it up as well. So go to RodeoHouston.com and check out ticket prices now.
Love that banjo.
Got a beat and I can dance to it.
I tried to teach myself the harmonica one time, and then I realized how complicated it is, and then someone told me how easy it was, and that made me feel stupid. But
you should just try.
Can you play an instrument? Do you know how to play anything? You can play the drums? Oh, come on now. That seems to be the most complicated. You're that coordinated that you can get the left foot and the right foot and the left hand and the right hand to do four different things.
I know everything. Any chance that I could do anything well mind boggles you. But at the same time, I started.
Why would you say that?
Because of how you act and what you say. But
you're so sensitive.
I've been drumming ever since. Like, I started in kindergarten on the desks with pencils. And the teachers basically said, if you don't get this kid drums, that
Yeah, I did that. Actually, what me and my friends used to make our beats on the table with our hands, just our fists. Mm-hmm. You know, that was it. Just
fisting.
Two
fisting.
Yeah, we were two fisting the beat. That's what. Yeah.
But then I got mad early on because in order to take the drums, you had to play the xylophone, like a glamorous version of the. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. And notes, I'm not good at. But from a drumming perspective and learning the beats, I could do that. So okay. I just eventually stuck with the drums. And then when I really got away from it was when sports became more and more prevalent, junior high, high school, and they said, you can either be in the band or you can continue. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm playing sports. I'm not doing the band thing.
You don't want to be the band nerd?
Nah.
Okay.
So I passed on that. But, yeah, I can play the drums.
I hear band chicks are loose.
The one time at band camp?
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
No, that was true. They used to talk about that because everyone used to talk about the dancers.
Did you have
the dance corps?
Did you have
or whatever?
Cheerleading, and then you had the
dance
team?
Yeah. Jersey Village. We had the cheerleaders, and we had the dance team.
Yep.
But everyone used to talk about how frisky the band chicks were. I guess sometimes ugly chicks, they'll go a little further than the dance chicks.
Yesterday.
Yeah. I never learned how to play anything. I was going to teach myself guitar, and then I decided I didn't want to do that. I was going to teach myself the harmonica. And then I didn't learn how, like, but even in, like, high school, though, when I grew up, we all the music that I made was all, like, you know, electronic. So when I was making beats for my friends and stuff that they would rap, you know, it was using, like, just the keyboard, mm-hmm. basically. So it was all, I mean, it wasn't, like, actually playing the drums. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I always wanted to learn how to play an instrument.
Well, when I played the drums, too, I didn't want to be in the band.
So you had a drum set.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and like
you never joined a band?
No, I mean I had friends that played other guitars and things like that, and we would screw around a little bit with it.
Yeah.
But I never got to that point. And then as well, it was always fun and games for my parents if I was practicing at school. But when I started to practice at home, and we didn't have we had a small like 2-bedroom apartment, and he was like, "Mm-mm, no, that's not going to work."
God, I bet that was
the neighbors weren't happy about it.
Oh,
either.
Oh God, no!
Especially even just the snare drum, just because that's really
just
loud.
The snare drum.
If you just had the snare to practice,
so you didn't have a drum set. You just had snare.
I had a couple of drums at one point, and a cymbal. You know, what do they call it, a kit. But
so you had the kick and this and the hi hat and all that.
But the snare was even when you put the practice pad on it, it could still get pretty loud. So
see, I always hated the music things in like elementary and junior high. It was mainly elementary, I guess. But I always got stuck with those dumbass like the triangle.
I was just going to say the triangle, sticks. Too.
Remember the sticks that you would just rub together?
Oh, yeah.
And they had like the little ridges on them. So and you would click the sticks for a little while, and then you'd rub them together. I'm like, what the hell am I? If I wanted to do this, I would have joined the Boy Scouts. I'm not trying to start a fire here. I'm trying to pick up hot chicks because I'm in a band. I'm not going to pick up hot chicks with these stupid-ass sticks.
Okay, so I found out why that bothers so many people, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because we bought Taylor her first, like, musical instrument set. It's
yeah.
Just like, it's like little cymbals.
Yeah.
That stick set's in there.
Is it?
Yeah. So and she's already at 18 months either knocking it together or, you know, rubbing them against each other.
Right.
The triangle's in there. And I'm going, this basically...
It's like
this is like right field in baseball in Little League.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, if you can't do anything, we're going to give you one of these three instruments. That's you don't need to go through all that.
Dude, that – yeah, I hated that. I'm trying to think what the other – because all the cool instruments, like I always wanted the cymbals. I always wanted the cymbals. What was the other cool instrument that they had? Like the xylophone?
I hated the xylophone.
Really?
I'll tell you what, but like –
My sister played the French horn. For like a half a year, and that was the goofiest looking thing. Like I don't.
And then don't you have to like put your fist in the hole of it when you muffle it for certain sounds with the French horn, like a plunger?
I'm totally not going to be childish
after
right now.
After you double fisted on your comment,
I'm
but,
totally
okay.
not going to be childish right now and all start right. making slut buster comments. But
okay, yeah.
I'm not going to do that because I'm a grown man. Mm-hmm. And I
but
won't,
I get yelled at when you talk about
I
having a banana and some grapes.
I won't stoop to that level, not mm-hmm, at all. Yeah, I don't
know.
I see dudes playing the clarinet, and I'm like,
oh, come on, man.
Come on
yeah.
now. I don't mm-hmm. know if I could do that.
Man up a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, too, like, I didn't want to play the metal-plated xylophone,
mm-hmm.
but, like, in our school, we also had that, like, the tiki wood, the really nice, really expensive, that had that kind of that sweet, jazzy little, boop, you know, kind of xylophone. It's not a xylophone. There's another name for it, but it's like a xylophone.
Okay.
And I always thought that would be really cool and really sound really cool.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I can't get the note thing down, so
well,
I'm out.
Yeah. I never wanted to be in the band.
Me either.
I did, like, you know, in elementary, played the musical instruments. And then in junior high, I was in art, music, and speech. That was a thing, right? So you had art, music, and speech. And then you had – I would take a half a year. They would split up the year. So you'd have half a year of drama, which I was into. I wanted to be an actor and a comedian. So then junior high, I was like, yeah, I'll learn how to act in drama class. Plus, you always hear that drama chicks are pretty easy, too, which is I can confirm drama chicks are easy. So all you young cats out there thinking about taking drama, you want to chase some skirt. Yeah, take drama. But then half of the year was drama and the other half was choir. So I also had to take choir. And that's when I learned I can't sing to save my life. Sometimes it was so bad. Sometimes my choir teacher would be like, you know, if you just want to mouth it, that's fine too.
Wow. Like, that's when you know it's really bad.
That's how bad of a singer I was. My choir teacher would pull me aside and she'd be like, I get it. You want to do the drama thing and they make you take choir. If you want to just mouth the words, I'm not going to fail you.
And if that doesn't work, here's that stick with the ridges
yeah.
on it if you just want to rub that together.
Well, there was no music in there. I mean, no instruments in choir, but I was such a terrible singer. Like, I can't, like, even in the car, I kill myself.
But you still, to this
wretched.
Day, belting them out.
In the car?
Yeah.
By myself?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm yeah. definitely singing. But, yeah, I'm wretched. I'm wretched. So, yeah, that was, I remember that.
No car karaoke for you?
I would never be on that show.
No?
Unless it was to embarrass myself.
Okay. All right. Well, we want you to be a part of our show. 713-780-ESPN. That's 3776. 713-780-3776. You want to text us. You want to call us. You can and are more than welcome to be a part of our show. If not, hit us up on Twitter. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, beer, yeah, beer. Call me Steve. Oh, I'm a wild boy. I ain't got need. Oh.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Pinkerton's Barbecue on Airline Drive. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel and Barry from Pinkerton's in the Heights, where if you want to start your weekend off right, come get some fantastic barbecue. The brisket is all world. And then nuzzle up to the bar and make sure you tip your bartenders and waitstaff and watch some NCAA action while you digest. Maybe go back for round two because it's definitely worth it. Quick Nick is manning the fort back at headquarters. We are well taken care of all across the dials and levers.
Somebody wanted to know, did AJ take off today to spend the time with Yancey? I don't believe that's the case. I can't confirm that, though. But no, I don't think so. I don't think he would drive back to Beaumont.
Andreas is here, engineering. Andreas, you were there yesterday. Your thoughts on Yancey? No? No! Wow!
Somebody wanted to ask me what, because I said I sucked at choir. I wasn't in the band. I sucked at basketball because I did the 3-point hook shot. But that wasn't in high school. That was junior high. Mm-hmm. So someone just asked, what were you good at in school if you weren't good at this other things? And the answer is chicks. I was good at chicks. That's it.
I actually answered that for you.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't do like, I don't know. I was athletic, but I also stopped growing when everyone else kept growing in high school. So I just chased women. That's it. That was my thing. Yeah. I was a good hip hop dancer. I was a good hip hop dancer, a good producer of hip hop beats.
You're a good parachute pant wearer too.
No, that one I was not.
Oh. Dr. Rumberg says, dude, the drums enabled me to bed women and contract infections all the way to age 33. So feather in your cap there. Kudos to you. Well, maybe well played. I don't know.
Sure. I know we got a call. Quentin's on the phone.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Quentin? How's it going, man?
Hey, nothing much. Hey, Barry, man, come on, dude. I mean, you can't sing. Hey, you got a bad radio voice. Hey, what's up with that?
You're saying I have a bad radio voice? Why do I have a bad radio voice?
Because everybody thinks you're black.
Well, why would that make it? Wait.
Oh, you, Mike, are you disguising your voice?
Yes. Why are you being racist right now, Quentin?
Hey, but beside that, I know you guys are talking about slunk busting. That reminded me of a chick that I had the pleasure of getting to know.
Okay. Is this going to be clean, Quentin? Is this going to be clean?
Yeah. It's good.
Okay.
It's good.
Just don't curse. There are people in the Pinkertons eating right now. So.
Right. Hey, this is back when the Rockets won the first two championships. There was a young lady at a store that, hey, you know, I decided to, you know, just decided to talk to. She slipped me her number. I was like, wow, okay, hey. She's a little bigger than some of the people some of the girls I date. And she's probably, what, 5'4", maybe 140 pounds.
Okay.
And I was like, well, so, and kind of like you said, you know, sometimes those girls, they appreciate it a lot more. She, you know, she had a little job there, and she would buy me all kind of goodies after that.
And this was where again?
Guys.
Where was this at?
I'm sorry?
You said you met her where?
I met her at, well, you want to say this, at a Fiesta store.
Oh, my God. Thanks for the call, Quentin.
Oh, Quentin.
Thanks for the call. But I liked it. Quentin's like, yeah, dude, I met this chick, and she used to give me all kind of goodies. And I'm like, what do you mean goodies? Where? At Fiesta. So she gave you groceries, is what you're
Starburst,
saying.
Starburst.
She would give you, like,
sugar babies,
loaves of bread.
Twinkies.
And packs of fresh tortillas. Like, that's great. I never thought to pick up a chick at a Fiesta. That is outstanding.
We were talking about this.
What?
Even at a grocery store. You said, well, depending on what kind of chick you want to pick up, but they're always going to find you the best snacks.
No. I didn't say I was picking up chicks doing that. I said when I don't have a list with me, but I know we need food at the house, you always follow the big person at the store because they know where all the good snacks are.
Today, it's a big person.
We're at a place. We're at an establishment. It's going out over there. I don't want to say fat people. It might offend somebody.
You cussed over the speakers a while back.
But we weren't
okay
on air when
but
I cussed.
It still goes out over the restaurant. What's the difference between that and saying fat?
No one's listening right now. Or then. I mean,
that's
then.
Nice. Welcome to our show. Thanks. It's just me and Barry just talking.
Yeah, I did cuss. I didn't mean to. That's my bad. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, we're back, I guess.
I've been here.
Yeah, no, I know. I hear you. So Quentin's a regular to the show, so we're not going to get too mad. But woo, that one took a little while. You know,
Quentin always gives me a hard time every time he calls. He busting my chops. I don't understand that.
Did
I
you notice how quickly he tried to brush on, brush it under the rug, and move on from the somewhat racist comment?
Yeah, telling me I don't have a voice for radio because I sound black. That's not right.
Mm-mm.
Poor Quentin, going to catch an ass whooping by somebody if they find out he said that.
Quite possible.
Yeah. Did you see the tweet by one Mr. Josh Rapp?
Earlier, yes.
From Deadspin?
I did.
So, apparently, San Diego got a new soccer team.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to name said potential. I guess they're up for, there's a potential MLS team in San Diego, or maybe they got it. I don't know. I don't really care about the details. What's important is that they put the name up to a vote. And this is on Twitter, at SoccerCitySD. So I'm going to read you the names in the order from least voted on to most voted on.
Okay.
All right, and we'll start with some of the easy ones here. San Diego AFC, which stands for America's Finest City, or Association Football Club, Athletic Club San Diego, San Diego Armada, San Diego Soul, Mission San Diego FC, San Diego Football Club, San Diego Bad Hombres, which probably is the best one that they've had out of that. Then the San Diego Surf, which is corny. And lastly, the leader by, 210 votes is Footy McFootyface is the leader in the clubhouse to name the San Diego MLS soccer team. Would you buy a Footy McFootyface jersey?
No.
Oh, I absolutely
but
would.
This is the funny thing is this is not the first time anything like that has popped
Footy
up.
McFootyface.
Now the Texans are lucky because remember they had the whole fan vote thing going, but they were smart. They picked the finalists before they had, like, tried to get a fan vote.
Yeah.
But in a lot of these were the fan votes. And I want to say that the Footy McFootyface type thing has popped up before.
Sure.
But it's just, you just aren't thinking and you aren't very creative as an organization if you feel like you need that
well,
much.
Well,
I
think you want to involve the fans. What I don't think they planned on is how silly people can be. And it certainly did backfire. I hope that they were like, we're letting the fans pick the name, and whatever they vote on Twitter is what we're going with, because now they're out there having to create accounts to go.
That's the one thing you don't say.
To go not vote for Footy McFootyface.
Yeah, you go off the chart. That's like, yeah, we appreciate you guys voting. And in a surprising upset, well, it also kind of dictates how many people participate when you go in a large margin.
Yeah,
the leader in the clubhouse by over 100 votes.
373 have voted for Footy McFootyface. Second place, the San Diego Surf, 162.
Why do you think that's corny, by the way? It's at least it's ties you into San Diego.
That's stupid. Should be like the San Diego Good Weathers.
Because that's solid.
That's great. Actually, Footy McFootyface is the best one by far.
So get your Footy McFootyface t-shirts, but action figures, and jersey.
Is the San Diego Bad Hombres, is that kind of the racist hat tip to Donald Trump?
I don't know if it's to Donald Trump.
Didn't he even the one that said that there's some bad hombres?
But he did not, obviously not in San Diego. But
yeah, but I think he was just saying there's some bad hombres. Okay. So, yeah, that's hilarious. San Diego is not playing around. I think they should start naming sports teams like we name our fantasy football teams.
Okay.
That would be great, right? Just okay. A bunch of euphemisms?
Sure.
No?
Gross point blank.
Is that what your name was?
No, Big Blank Theory.
Mine was 2 Minute Drill Your Mom. Someone gave me that one on
some
Sunday. Wouldn't that be great if it was the Houston Drill Your Moms? 2 Minute Drill Your Moms?
No.
No?
No, because
I think that'd be great.
Then you're the Texans insinuating your mom's easy.
Yeah, the Texans are lame. That's way better.
I'm not going to argue that. There it is. And Johnny Nixon comes up with the other one. There was it started with Bodie McBodyface.
For what?
There was a British agency to let the internet name their research ship. And it started with Bodie McBodyface.
That's good.
So, yeah, that's where Footy McFootyface came from.
I like it.
All right. We've got two in the books. We've got one more to go. And then after us, Fred and Jerome Solomon will take the Blitz. Right here from Pinkerton in the Heights, and take you home until 6, not 7. NCAA action again resumes tonight, and we will have it all here on ESPN 97.5. So stay tuned. Keep listening. Two in the books, one to go. One more hour of the show, and if you want to participate, as always, you know how to reach us. Text us, tweet us, or give us a call, 713-780-ESPN. We are ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.